You're listening to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast for Episode 8.
Tackle.
Yeah, well done. A lot of thought in that one. This week, we're looking at the up-and-coming bye round, and Warnie blows our socks off with some game-changing news.
Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm Roy, I coach Destroy, and I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Warn Dogs.
Bit emo. And Calvin.
The coach of Calvinator.
Get up and about. Now, Warn Dog, you should be up and about as well, because we have a game-changing fantasy scoop today.
Oh, we do. I'm excited about that. So excited about the Warn Dogs at the moment. But, yeah, no, this is a game-changer,
it is.
I guess.
It's massive.
And it's exciting because it's something different.
It is different.
Which is what we like about
Definitely.
And let's now, are you only being excited because you're an employee here?
No, I'm actually excited.
Yeah, exactly. It's been legit. This is awesome.
Going to make fantasy, all that little bit
nice little spin on it.
It will. Now, it I've got you all really happy, Warn Dog. Can you tell us about your weekend?
Way to bloody bring me back down to earth. Well, I still stayed over 2,000. It was touch and go for me, but I got 2025 in the end.
That's all right.
No, it's not, because it slipped me way outside of the top 1,000, which I've been sitting in the whole time, out to about 1,500th or so now, but it's not good. And then when I logged on to check out my side and that sort of stuff, all those little blue dots sitting
there.
Holy
hat.
It's not a good round for the Warn Dogs coming up either, I don't think. So Jeez, it might be a little while till I'm back inside that top 1,000. Calvin, you went well.
I'm not one to brag I'm not one to walk with a swagger when I have a good score. But yeah, I had a good one. I missed a bit of damage, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
from
you
people
did.
That,
yep.
Like I didn't have a Sam Mitchell or a Rewalt. And so I got away with a bit of that. But so 2,255 is what I scored. So, yeah,
it's
nice. Score.
You are good, Calvin. I take back all of those things I've said about you.
Yeah, I know. Like, Warn Dog, here you are thinking someone like Yench is better than Short, Reece Short.
Yeah.
He's not, though, is he?
No. Calvin's just a genius.
So, look, maybe if you guys listen. Just listen.
Now, Roy, you're going along all right.
I am. After a very embarrassing start,
Solid. You're back. So how did you go this week?
21-31, and, nothing, once again, to write home about, but it's moving me in the right direction. I'm into about 5,000, so no longer am I being laughed at outside the 10,000. I'm being laughed at 5,000. So it's a good thing.
All right, it's time for the plus three and negative three, men. Let's go through our good ones this week. So our plus threes. Calvin, who was your boy? And please don't say who I think you got.
Reece Shaw.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much. How is that kissed on anything? Because, look,
he's 32 and he's never been good before.
He's had 200s in a row. Obviously a change of role, and at the price he was, great pickup.
Have you seen how fat he looks?
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. I know.
So you picked him to feast on points because he's big and fat.
Would you pick somebody that cheap who's gone now 300s in a row? Of course you would.
He's on my radar.
Of course he is.
All right, Roy, who was yours?
Dalhouse.
Oh, jump on the bandwagon, Roy.
Don't even joke about that. Back
don't
into
you
my
joke team. About it either.
I had him round one. You find evidence to say I didn't. I had Dalhouse, got him out, because that was called a calf. A calf is not a one-week injury.
Especially with the history we've had in calves in fantasy football.
Exactly. So, anyway, he was back in, and thanks very much. 120, plus three, easily.
All right, now mine is Nick Robertson.
Stop the press.
Oh,
is he really talking kissed on that, and he's got Nick Robinson written down?
You don't even know who he is because you're no good at this game.
You aren't. I bet you by near 300 this week.
Oh, hello.
Did you have him on your field?
I did. Now I was making,
oh my God.
Oh, as if you're not playing any rookies on your ground.
Or this week
just,
I will.
Are you just, did he sneak onto your midfield?
Yes. Surely you guys are still playing rookies in your midfield.
Yeah, like Pollock and
you've
Tyson.
You've always had
and
the stronger midfield, haven't you?
Well, not anymore, it seems. Hang on, no. But Robertson, he's bloody good. He had
is.
90.
I
was tossing up between, and this was part of my strategy, because I did a bit of shuffling and downgrading and stuff, and I've got a bit of a war chest of money, but he scored 90, and I was down to a choice between him and Hallahan on my ground.
Oh, wow.
A little bit worried about Hallahan bring him in this week. I don't like to play a bloke on debut if he's a rookie.
Okay.
But,
certainly scored better than Robinson the week.
He did? Oh,
Robertson.
Was it much?
It was like 85 to, I don't know, about 60-something.
60, 70. Yeah. Yep. The main thing was, I thought, Hallahan had a slight chance of a vest still.
Yeah,
that's very true.
You know, that was there. And Robertson hasn't looked like it at all. No, and he has spent a fair bit of time at centre bounces and all that sort of stuff. But then I thought they were playing Sydney. Oh, God. It was just, I don't know why I did it. I couldn't
believe it when you did that.
No, well, there was some method in my madness. And it happened. So he gets my plus three this week. And
I'm thoroughly deserved.
I'm pretty happy about that. Now, Calvin, when you score a 22.55 and you've moved into the top 500 again now, haven't you?
Oh, pretty much. Yep. Yeah. Big deal.
Could you find a negative three on your side? Selwood's out, so you can't use him.
It can't be Scott Selwood, but it's his teammate Dean Cox, and I think he's got...
Yeah.
He's got multiple negative threes, but it was also Zorko was pretty poor for me as well.
Oh, right.
But, yeah, so
he was
Cox,
one of my best in my four.
He was. Cox, 68. That's... Jesus Christ. What's going on with him?
I don't know, but he's very frustrating. I said the other... I copped a bit of criticism, actually, when I said he is certainly not someone that you would be looking to put in your team. Well, that is why.
It is very justified.
The West Coast rucks are tough to... look at, I think.
I know, but
and to pick what's going to happen.
Coxie's been able to play with other rucks before. He is just not playing well. Not good.
All right. What about you, Roy?
Righty. Righty has been...
the old mate Righty's back in the negative
three. He's not a laughing stock anymore, though. He went through a month of scoring in the 90s.
He'll do that.
But against Melbourne, I've just wanted something solid from him. To get 50 versus Melbourne, Righty got my negative three.
Dog.
All right, have we got a few minutes?
Give us your negative three. Fire away.
Can I just choose, can I have multiple?
Just
depends. Go.
Nah, well, I've got a heap that could honestly get it because I had, to score 2,000 and bloody 25, I had a massive stinker, but I've chosen one to give it to, and that's Nick Riewoldt.
Now, he got injured.
So? He was still out there.
You would say to one of us if we had a bad week and went and picked on an injured guy. You would call us out for that.
You can't get him for his injury.
No, I am, because he's dropped 46k. Now, this was, again,
he's right for the picking, Roy.
Yeah, exactly. God, that's what I hate about it the most.
You jinxed him because you have talked him up to us that much. I don't know why you two didn't start with him.
Did you see what he did? He went 125 and 148 in his first two games.
Have you seen what he's done the last two?
Smashing it. Well, yes, I have. And that's why he's getting a negative three. I should be allowed to do it. So he's there. I tell you what, there's about another bloody half a dozen blokes that are lucky that their names aren't there. And they are honestly... under a fair bit of notice, and I'm considering this week...
write a letter!
No, I'm even considering to send the freaking message to some of these units is that they might be playing this week, and I might be struggling because of the buys. Nah, still going to trade them out.
Oh, really?
No, even if they are going to be playing, because I prefer to play 14 blokes on my ground that are willing to bleed for the green and black Warn Dogs jumper... then have 39 points from Nick Riewoldt, who's a leader of the club.
Oh,
well. A leader. No, he's my negative three.
Do you know, I hate to step on your toes, but could I maybe suggest someone who you should have given it to?
Who's that?
You chased points and got in your old mate, Brent Stanton.
Oh!
We warned you about Brent, and you every year you get him in and you wreck him.
You did
it again. This is the fourth year straight. You have got him in for absolute putrid scores.
Well, just quietly, I traded out Joel Selwood for it. It was all part of a bit of a buy trading strategy. Bloody, it doesn't matter now because my team's not good. It was looking all right because it was for Selwood.
Yep.
And did you see what Selwood did in those first three quarters? We might get to that shortly, but that was... I thought it was actually still going to be a genius... pick, even though he got 68. Anyway, let's have a look at the round that's just gone.
Sorry.
And what?
Sorry for suggesting. You just don't do that. It's an unwritten rule not to suggest someone else's negative three.
No, exactly. As I said, there was a lot of blokes who could have got it. All right, let's have a look at the round that's just happened. And so on Friday night, we started off Carlton and Collingwood. Now, there was some interesting scores through that. The big one, and he probably could have been one of my plus three. Was a plus three nomination. That was Tom Langdon. 99 he had.
Yeah, he was very good.
Looked very good. His break-even's down to 28 now. And
he's a cash cow. He's reinvented himself as a cash cow.
He has. So he's at 317K. He'll be 350.
Yep.
Obviously, they've got the bye this week, so he's not going to go up after this week, but we can hold him there for a little while.
After a shocking start, Warndog, where at halftime I was heavily concerned for you.
Yeah, same.
So upset for
you. I rang him twice and he didn't answer.
Simpson.
He did 21 points at halftime, and I'm ringing Roy going, hey, look, Dog's not answering his phone. I'm really concerned at the moment.
Well, he bounced back. He had 64 in the second half.
He rang me at the end of
and
the
game. And he had 85, which was actually a fairly solid score for most people's teams for this round.
It is.
So
he
was all right. So I'm feeling like no doubt on Simpson. All right. The big one, though, on Saturday afternoon at the MCG, it was a fantasy pigsty out there.
Yeah.
It was just points going crazy. Weren't there some big numbers?
Look, what about Ryan Shoemakers?
Oh, God.
I'll tell you what.
This is the sort of pick that you'll actually do.
Let me just... I'm warning people about this.
Reshore.
No. Listen. You could learn a couple of things here.
From you?
He scored 94 points, and a lot of people are going to chase the hype.
Yep.
We are saying don't. Saying don't. What are you guys saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right, Dog?
Yeah, no, don't pick him.
Oh, geez. Oh, he had him written on his team over there. No. He just crossed him off.
Now, Calvin, I think a lot of your brilliance this week was due to this game because you have got a lot of... the high-scoring Hawks, that was a smart move.
I'm heavy in the Hawks.
You are, and it paid off. Look at them. Who was your best out of the Hawks line?
Gunston was good.
He was.
Birchall was good. Suckling was good. And obviously, not having Sam Mitchell, lucky work not to get him.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sam Mitchell, 7 points, and his hamstring. And news today is that he's gone for 2 months, so he'll miss up to about 8 weeks, they reckon. It's like a tendon thing in his hamstring, so that's not looking good. But, yeah, that was a very, very... Oh, well... depressing for a lot of people there because a lot of people I know noticed on Twitter got him in that week.
On our social media outlets last week, were you a guy that was trading Sam Mitchell in?
I was, and I didn't do it.
Oh, he's tricked him again! No! You tricked the public!
I let people know exactly what I'm doing before lockout. Anyway, thank you very much. No. Sam Mitchell...
No wonder they all traded him in.
Sam, no, that's not my... Don't listen to me. Listen to Calvin. He'll tell you to get bloody brilliant blokes like Reece Shaw. Another one that could have been all right to pick up for his first game. You would have been devastated if you did because he started in the vest. But Billy Hartung.
How good was that?
He would have cost you over 200 grand, I think.
Yep.
But
it's expensive, but yeah.
But he busted out 105 in three quarters, which was brilliant. Obviously had a bit of a price jump for that. Don't know if you're going to go and jump on him for that price. There's probably some other better options at that.
It's just a bit too much, isn't it?
Yep. But, geez, what a debut. That was pretty awesome.
And what about old Montagna at the moment?
Not a lot said about Montagna.
Jesus Christ. His numbers over the last 3 weeks have been huge.
Yeah, he's now the third most expensive player, almost 600 grand. So he's, keeps getting the job done. Averaging over 120. Yeah, well, you're probably not going to pick him now because of that price.
But
so, well done to those
that
did.
What stage do you pick him? Because he never gets picked.
He never gets picked. He's a similar player, I guess, to like a Kane Corns. Yeah. Oh, he's sort of a 3 year.
He's always there. He's always doing it. But he should be in more teams.
Definitely.
All right, pumping through. GWS Port Adelaide, probably not a lot to say there. Polek, 115 was good.
Was it just good, or was that guy bloody brilliant?
He's awesome. Yeah. He's break evens at 28 again
Reinvented himself as a cash cow.
He has to stay.
Reinvented himself as a keeper in my team.
Yeah,
he's just solid as a rock in there.
Yep, nice. Callum Ward. You can get him at under 500k, 162 points.
That's a massive
score. Yeah, because he had that sort of injured game, I think, against Adelaide, was it? Yeah, and so his break-even's at 60, so this is pretty much as cheap as we're going to get him. So if you're looking for a bit of an underpriced midfielder, that is him at the moment.
Interesting thing there, he usually does cop a tag, but teams are starting to tag Treloar. I've noticed that as a Treloar owner. Yep. Otherwise, I wouldn't probably watch any of those games. But I have noticed that. And Ward, look what happens when he runs free.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
All right, upset of the round. Melbourne defeated Adelaide. And in that, I guess we saw another little guy that maybe reinvented himself. It's happened all this weekend. He's Dom Tyson, 99 he had. So his break-even's at 56. It's a hard one because I've got rid of him. Have you guys?
I have, and because I spent 2 weeks watching him closely, realising that he had become scared of the ball or scared of any sort of physical contact, I thought, this isn't the right game for you, Dom. I've got to get you out. And then he's gone bang.
Now, what about our mate Giorgio? Oh, well. What a weapon!
I thought he was. He subbed out.
He subs back in.
He's a massive unit. He's a weird unit. Yeah, 15 points. Now, with him, I thought he was going to get himself over 200 grand shortly.
I know, I remember you saying that. And I was good. like, no chance. I thought, yeah, he really would. But,
another rookie that's probably worth looking at there or talking about, I suppose, is J. Kennedy Harris. His break even's down to negative 8. Now he had 87. Yeah. After those first few weeks, he was saving that many games. And I thought he was just a bit of a write-off, I suppose. Big injury news out of that game. There were a couple. But the big one for most fantasy coaches would be Yenchi
most
destroying.
Good fantasy coaches. Yeah. Dog, yes.
The smart ones.
Well, Yenchi. Now, I had a little dig at Calvin there. I didn't really mean it. But Yenchi has been a bloody good pick for us.
He's been awesome.
Well, that was halfway through the second quarter. He was already on 45. Getting it done.
Yep.
And, yeah.
So, he's broken ribs, apparently. Probably missed. They've got the bye this week. So, you will probably expect him to miss this week anyway. So, for me, and I reckon a bit of strategy might be just wait this week.
I think I might.
He's probably going to be out, but you knew he was going to be out anyway. Yeah. So, you should have obviously been prepared for that.
Yeah, a funny one with that game. I was watching and there was that. Did you hear Roy's rumour mill last week?
I did.
There was talk about McVay with that calf. So, yes. I was thinking, oh no, my emergency is Giorgio this week. And he went off on zero. And I thought, that'll be handy, just in case. But anyway, he ended up with 15. So, that was good. But Jacobs is the man in the ruck department. He got 110. He is doing it with ease. And like we were talking about, Cox is not someone to look at the moment. Put your Cox away and get Jacobs.
And look, for those people who had Mumford at the start of the year, Mummy gets injured and you just go straight to Jacobs. You've had a dream run.
Yeah, exactly.
Had a dream run.
All right, Bombers Bulldogs, looking at that game there. Whose house?
It's Dale's house!
120. He's just a jet, as you said, Roy. Going through that.
He's racking up touches everywhere, Warndog. Well, all over the ground.
I had a little bit of a look at a heat map the other day.
Hang on.
A what?
A Warnie?
No, we'll talk about that later, maybe. Okay. All right.
What is this heat map he speaks of?
But he's getting him all over the ground. Another one. Oh, Griffin, 88.
He's
building. He's building.
That's his best score for the year.
Is it?
It is. Legit.
I'll tell you what, he's coming.
Yeah, of course. And we did talk about Brent Stanton and Jack DeMerritt before. They weren't real good either.
Merritt is relevant, though.
He is.
He was under an injury cloud with the shoulder. He had some token padding on the shoulder. You see how I look at these injuries? I've got some sort of OCD with looking at any form of strapping. Now, his was irregular strapping on the shoulder. There was some, as I said, slight padding. So we were worried about whether he would play. He played, subbed out, but it was called a cork. Where was this cork? Added padding.
I call it a dead arm, Roy.
Was it?
It's a dead arm.
Yeah, so anyway, he's gone out with a cork. Is he going to play? We bloody need
this guy at the moment.
This is
the million-dollar question. Will Merritt play? And let's chuck in Ambrose as well while we talk the same. Dog, you're the Essendon supporter. Tell us.
Well, Ambrose played VFL.
Oh!
Didn't do much, though, I don't think.
Doesn't matter.
According to what I saw. But, I don't know. Merritt... Jeez, this is what I was talking about before with some of these guys that probably deserve to get the chop this week because of that. Now, his break-even's gone up to 115.
Oh, my God.
And he's just over 400K. So
I got him in as a cash cow.
Made
we
him a 20
could potentially
grand.
Even lose money on him if we forced to keep him.
So, that's terrible. No. That's a thing. I don't know.
Answer the question. Is he going to play, dog? Give me a percentage chance. Come on. Give people something here. And not a lie.
50% chance.
And what about Ambrose?
Ambrose, 22.
Awesome!
Yeah, so we might be in a bit of trouble with that. All right, the other Saturday night game was Brisbane and Sydney. McVay, how'd his calf go? Destroy? Not too
very
bad.
Very well. Yeah, very well. Done. He racked up 120. Yeah, he was really good.
And Shaw, 111.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
He had about 50 at quarter time too.
And there was a fair bit of swagger going on around Launceston that day. all right. Jake Lloyd, that rookie for the Swans.
Wow.
Yes.
109. He had a vest in the first game. He only had 49 in the second, so his price is only at 168.
Yeah.
He's a huge target. I reckon if you're looking to make a little bit of money this week to upgrade some guys throughout the course of the buys, then he. So, for example, X Ellis to him, you make yourself 100 all straight there. So... yeah, he could be there for a little while.
It's very interesting. That's a very good game. I was certainly turned off when I looked at his previous numbers, but now.
Yeah,
you've got to consider it.
All right, now another big one. This is interesting for most coaches of any fantasy side, is that Mike Pike, hamstring injury. Now, Tom Derricks, that's great for him now because most of us have got him on the bench and, you know, needed him over the byes.
Yeah.
Don't want to wish that injury and don't want to make that, but, you know, the glass half full type thing for old Mike Pike. He's probably got him in his fantasy side as well, and he would probably be quite happy that he's out there because he's going to get that opportunity now to actually get some more points in his regular 40s.
Well, do you know what that does?
What?
In my team?
What?
Puts a bit of pressure on Cox.
Yeah!
He's sitting there, mate.
Right.
He's sitting there and he's keen to score points. Yeah.
We'll look at the North Melbourne Gold Coast game. Ablett came home like a freight train.
He did. That looked bad.
He was SD ruggling. He ended up with 119, Swallow 81.
That's him? We did have that question the other day.
Yeah.
Calvin was all over it too.
Yeah.
Calvin said,
is he just going to be an 80 odd bloke?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he is.
Yeah. Well, I'm right again.
You are. You're on fire.
Pretty much.
No wonder you're such a good coach. Yeah. Now, a big number, well, big numbers, were from Hanson.
He's back doing it again, isn't
he? He did it last year. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was something like he had 8 out of 10 tonnes or something like that. It was ridiculous.
He was not dropping under 90.
Yeah.
That was his rule.
It was huge.
And 17 marks.
And, 17 marks with 23 kicks. So from that 120 of his points just came from kicks and marks.
Now, 17 marks...
Hibbo-like.
I think that actually isn't as good as it could have been. At half time, I think he had
looked
like
he was nearly going to get... Was it Lakey's record?
Yeah, it was something like that. So he actually slowed down. That could have been massive.
Yeah, McDonald was the sub, which would have added to some of that pain on the week. Well, I did notice it on Twitter for some of those coaches out there with him on the ground. He came on, only got 21 points in his limited time. But with his break even of 91 now, he's got the bye this week. Great time to sell him. He dropped 15K. He's at 320. Cash him in.
Stevie Johnson was getting it done versus the Tigers.
What a beast.
His first quarter was ridiculous. I was thinking he could possibly get the 200.
Okay, because I was watching.
He was going off.
Oh, he was number one, wasn't he?
Because he was number one. No, I'm talking about. I've told you I'm never wrong.
No.
I got, at quarter time, I typed 57 into a calculator and I went multiply by 4.
Yep.
I forgot what it was. 228 points. And I went, 228 points. Holy hat. And I haven't even doubled it yet. So I went times by 2. It's like a million.
That would have been Calvin's captain's greatest ever achievement.
Jeez, he slowed down.
He did.
He did.
But he still did.
If you get 126, you've got to be pretty happy with that from a captain. Pretty ordinary conditions. Now, Joel Selwood was struggling early too.
He was.
He had a 45-point last quarter to boost his numbers to 82, so that was not making me feel that bad about the old Gelwood to Stanton trade. And one of my boys, Calvin.
Hang on.
What?
Did you have Sam Lloyd on the field?
Of course I did.
How do you actually sleep at night knowing you've got these guys on the
field? You had Sam Lloyd and that other bloke on the field, and they combined for what? Nearly
172.
Oh my God. And what did you score?
Yeah, I know. That's a thing. So, is my coaching's fantastic of these rookies. I can get the best out of them.
You do, because who in their right mind would put him on the ground versus the Cats?
Oh, well, he went out there, kicked 3 goals.
I know.
You are brilliant.
Oh, exactly.
Talk about getting blood out of a stone.
What does that saying mean? What? All right, playing on
that
to the last game.
To do. Yeah.
The Derby, or the Derby, whichever way you want to call it. Duffman, does he interest you? He had 118 points.
Duffman always interests
me. He does. Hasn't been great. I think it's only been about a 70 average this year.
Don't touch
him. Yeah, a bit of a roller coaster. Now, as we talked about before, those rucks, Coxie 62, Nick Nat 52. Not good. And old Zach Dawson.
Oh,
he would have affected a few coaches. He copped the vest. 16 points. So, a red vest at the end. So, that is the round that was.
Hang on a minute. I recognise that music. And that means one thing and one thing only. Warndog has another fast-breaking news story.
Well, we haven't used that for a while. We do have some news, which is huge. And like we did talk about at the start of the show, we've got something new.
Right, and take a breath, Warnie. Come on.
He's not the best person to go through this. He's too excited.
No, it's good. What we've got is a big change to fantasy, and it's a welcome change to keep making the game different to all
more
those
trades?
Other ones out there.
More trades for me?
No more trades. Oh,
money?
Over this week, no money for you. Okay. However, it might add some flexibility to your side.
Oh, interesting.
That is, we are going to have some player position changes. So they're going to be, I like to call them adjustments, because it's more about what they're doing now.
Okay.
So it's really interesting. It's a guy like, well, let's have a look at some of the potential options.
Yep.
The first one I was thinking of, which is probably any footy supporter would probably be able to look at this and see this, that would be James Frawley for Melbourne.
Completely different role.
Well, that's it. Like last year, and these are the stats that they're using to back all that stuff up. 94% of the time he was getting his touches in the back line.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, that was pretty much, I'm a defender. That's why I'm named as a defender. This year, though, it is 47% in the back line.
Right.
So, obviously, 53% in the forward line. So, what's happening with him? Well, I assume, because of those numbers, and that's probably why I got that little teaser, I suppose, is that he'll probably grab forward status to go with his defender status.
Yeah, okay.
So he'll now become dual position as a defender or a forward, which means that you can either have him in your forward line or back line in your fantasy side, and also obviously buy him in as that. So
that
is
handy flexibility. You're so not these, lying about that.
So these guys will not lose their original position.
No, they can't, just for the mechanics of the game and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so that's one, and I reckon that one's a lock to happen.
What about in a sort of similar situation? What about James Kelly?
Well, yeah,
Geelong averaging 90.
I think he hasn't gone over the defender.
Yeah. He has to. He hasn't gone over the halfway line.
No,
and he has to get it.
And I've been following some of the heat maps and stuff, and most of his touches are all coming in the back half, which you can see just by watching the game. It's not like it's a crazy sort
now,
of thing.
Now, player I mentioned earlier, Warndog. This is my hot tip. Dalhouse. Now, he has, like I said, he's been racking up the pill all over the ground. He's been amazing.
He has, yeah.
So he will, he'll get mid status for sure, won't he?
I think it has to be added on there. Like, again, I saw his heat map, and his is all around, all over the ground, to be honest.
Yes,
like, he's been awesome. And
What are you saying? He could get... Defender, mid, forward.
I don't think we're going any TPPs or QPPs.
Whoa.
Or anything, but no. So I reckon he's got to be a pretty decent chance to become a mid forward. So we'll see how that goes there. There's a few other guys. From what I've been told, that there's going to be 18 changes.
18.
So we're going to find that out on Thursday. They'll be flicked over there, so make sure you check that out. I'm sure there'll be plenty of stuff on AFL.com.au all about that.
There's been a couple of prominent, really relevant fantasy midfielders snagging goals lately.
Swanee!
Could it happen?
Swanee could be a forward, Roy!
Gaz had four goals, didn't he, on the
Gaz
weekend?
Gaz could be a forward!
I reckon they'll be fairly conservative. I reckon
Now, we all know how I can footify Reece Shaw into something spectacular, but could you footify a Swedish ice hockey fanatic?
Oh, well, that is exactly what NAB's Footify Fans Plant is all about. They're plucking sports fans from all around the world, and then they want you to convert them into footy fanatics.
Nice. It's another way NAB is doing more to footify Australia, boys. And if you want to get involved in footify, go to nab.com.au/AFL.
Rightio, heading into what is going to be an absolute disastrous round of the first bye, round 8, with all our superstars missing. Just remember, a quick recap of the rules. Your best 18 players will count. They must be on your field.
Yeah.
So, for example, like in my ruck department, I've got Cox and Sandilands who will play this week. God, that's going to be a bloody good help. But Derek's is on my bench.
Yeah.
So his score obviously is not going to count.
No.
So, yeah, best 18 scorers from your field is what's going to be important.
So you'd still put a knee on Derek's, and if one of those were a late withdrawal,
then he's in.
So that's just normal.
Yes.
But they have to be on your ground.
On your ground to count. Well, a lot of stuff that you need to do. Make sure you fix it all up. Get those bench guys, the guys with the bye onto your bench. That's a job to do during the week.
Click save.
And click save. And make sure you've got your captain selected. I reckon
we're
going to hear a little bit from I think this is probably the most important Calvin's Captain's article of the year.
Tell have to write.
I've had people knocking on my door, dog, going, Calvin, I've just been tucked away in my little room, writing away. It's pretty hard work, I tell you what.
Did you have a sick day from work for that today?
I'll have one tomorrow.
Have you had any requests from AFL players saying, come on, put me in there?
Oh, plenty.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Who do you reckon is going to be the biggest surprise this week that has never been in a Calvin's captain's?
Oh, good one.
Before. Jeez, that's an on-the-spot
question. It is a very on-the-spot question. Look, it could be one of the Western Bulldogs boys.
Oh, yes.
Like a Liberatore, a Dale House. Boydie's been in it before.
Whose house?
Dale's house. Could be one of those guys playing Melbourne. But, yeah, of course.
I like someone's chances.
Who?
Rocky.
No, Rocky, yeah.
I think he could be number one.
I can tell you right now, after what I've seen, statistically-wise, data-wise, is Rocky will be top three.
Really?
Wow.
Potentially one. No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, wow.
He was gutsy on the weekend.
He was brilliant.
All right, he was gutsy on the weekend.
We've got to move on, but yeah, I reckon he'll be top three.
All right, so what are we thinking about this week? Strategy for people to do. Like, obviously, this is the toughest of the three by rounds, so if you've been under that rock, these same rules will go for the next 3 weeks. So,
yay.
Yeah, exciting. Round 8, round 9, round 10. This is the toughest one with all those guns that we've got out. What are you looking at, Roy?
Well, I might get rid of some dead weight on my forward line. You can't carry all this dead weight. So as much as I'd like a cash grab, I might actually have to get rid of someone that hasn't even made much money at all. Someone like Gary Rowan.
Oh, yeah.
And use dual position. Ooh. To get one of those, oh, I don't know, potential scorers in the midfield that are still cheap, like... both the Hawk boys and also Lloyd from Sydney. I might go to one of them. And I'm looking to maybe minimise my potential donuts this week and get in. I'm looking at Goddard. I haven't got a heap of money.
Right.
And I'm looking at Goddard, who is heavily underpriced after that 13.
Yep, good call.
And I think he will absolutely smash the lines.
Calvin?
Yeah, I'm going to try a double cash grab, if possible. I'm going to try.
Get
so...
that war chest.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
What's that mean?
All your money.
That's how come Warney got a good score this week. He cashed up the week before.
Well, I saw he's got like $3 million in the bank. Yeah, I'm going to try because I'm basically going to say, well, yeah, bugger this round. My next two are the way I'm going to pounce. But maybe that Lloyd guy from Sydney and probably a couple of other rookies have got to go as well.
All right.
So well, you've got three trades.
I do now, yes.
Right. I'm sending a message. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. This is honestly...
Well, it's better than a lie. We're getting somewhere. It's better than a blatant lie to trick the rest of us into something stupid.
Yep. Yep. I've got nothing. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. This is, episode 8 of the podcast. Yep. We've got 3 weeks
of
buys. That's a shocker, destroy.
So
We 3 weeks of buys coming up. Make sure you're following the three of us on Twitter, at CalvinDT, at RoyDT, at WarneyDT, probably the most important one, to get yourself all the info that you need. And, yes, we're all in it together, though. These buys, remember that?
Yeah.
We've got to support each other.
Yeah.
We've got to look after each other.
A little bit less cash talk.
Yeah.
Go easy.
See ya.